You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Hey, you want that to go?
And at the news takeout counter this morning, we've got Louise Story of our partner, The New York Times, and Todd Zwillick, our D.C. correspondent. They're going to share some insights into some economic stories that are emerging from Washington in a moment. But our look at some news stories we're staying on top of begins with a number of takeouts from you on the Obama administration's strategy in Afghanistan. Military families wanted more information.
My name is Rodell Durbin. I'm a truck driver, but I'm also recently retired from the National Guard. Now, this 30,000 troop enhancement over in Afghanistan, which I've been there from 2004 to 2005, how many are they going to end up pulling back into service from the retired reserves and the inactive ready reserves from the Guards and reserve units?
That's a great question.
That's a very good question. Yeah. We learned from you that maybe the message from President Obama was clearer to the rest of the world than it was to us.
My name is Asim Khan, and I'm calling from East Meadow in Long Island. I think Mr. Obama sent a clear message to all the parties involved in Afghanistan, including Afghani people, the Pakistan's people, and the U.S. military also.
And the DJ thinks the whole NATO-Afghanistan strategy is flawed. She emails us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. You don't fight terrorism with a land invasion. You fight it with carefully targeted attacks. This is the Israeli method. With our methods, we're at a disadvantage. We're sitting ducks for the enemy while we don't know where they are.
And I just knew this would happen. People responded to our discussion yesterday of the popularity and persistence of music on vinyl records. Kat writes to our side, the site, thetakeaway.org, "When my husband and I started collecting vinyl as college students 7 years ago, you could get 5 records for a dollar at the Salvation Army. Now they're $3 each. If that's not an economic indicator for the market, I don't know what is. Long live vinyl." That's great.
But, John, you know my skepticism on the whole target.
Shared
by one of our listeners, we learned that behind all that vinyl is another box of wretched retro.
Hey, this is Billy from Oklahoma. You know, we just got to kill the vinyl, because if we don't, I'm afraid we're never going to get rid of my dad's 8-track tapes.
What about his Pac-Man game? Does your dad have a Pac-Man game or 8 tracks in a box somewhere? Let us know by keeping the conversation going about anything we've been talking about. 877-8-MY-TAKE, or shoot us an email at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
Well, Louise Story, we're not going to ask you about whether you own vinyl or not, but I am going to ask you about Ben Bernanke, not about whether he owns vinyl, but his Senate nomination. He's up for reconfirmation for a second term as Federal Reserve Chairman, and there's some unexpected pushback. What's going on in the Senate?
So we've got the senator from Vermont, Bernard Sanders, who's one of the more left-leaning members of Congress, who said yesterday he's not going to vote for Bernanke. And he had some pretty harsh words. He said to one of my colleagues, "In this country, there is a profound disgust at what happened on Wall Street. And he thinks the Fed has watched out for the banks and Wall Street more than it's watched out for average Americans." And this is something we're hearing a lot of senators, you know, Chris Dodd from Connecticut and Richard Shelby from Alabama. They're on the banking committee. They have sharply criticized the Fed. They have not said they're not going to vote for Bernanke, but they've criticized the Fed.
Okay, so to what extent is this them complaining and making a stand, but in the end, Bernanke gets reconfirmed anyway?
He has a lot of support. Remember, he wasn't there when the problem was created, and he only needs 60 votes to get this up for voting, to get it passed. So
only 60.
Yeah, only 60.
But he has strong support. So what's happened with Sanders from Vermont for his remarks is that now, instead of a simple majority, Bernanke will be needing 60 votes.
Which is an uphill battle. I mean, you know, Bernanke has a constituency on Wall Street, which you report on all the time.
Right.
You've spent a lot of time down in Washington focusing on the bank regulation and the Bernanke story. Todd Zwillick, our Takeaway Washington correspondent. Todd, you know, do you agree with Louise's assessment that this is suddenly an uphill battle for Bernanke with this 60-vote trigger?
Well, it's a lot more of an uphill battle than he should have had, being a Fed chairman nominated for a second term. Bernie Sanders did a lot more than say he's not going to vote for Bernanke. He's putting a hold on his nomination. And what that means is that it's not going anywhere until Sanders gives it the go-ahead. Now, Harry Reid can circumvent it with 60 votes. That's absolutely true. But that he can also delay things a lot. And I talked to his guy last night, one of his staffers. They're going to want a lot more discussion from Bernanke and in general about transparency at the Fed, about their management of credit and management of the housing crisis and AIG. So this Sanders can make this go a little slower than I think the administration would have wanted.
All right, but this is showboating more than actual shutdown. Both of you, Louise.
Another interesting thing that Sanders is pushing for, along with Ron Paul in the House, got it passed in the House, is an audit of the Fed, which would be an unprecedented look at how they operate, what they're doing. The Fed and Bernanke are arguing this should not happen. They're saying it would undermine their independence to have Congress crawling through there investigating. But that's another thing that Sanders of Vermont wants, and perhaps that will be a bargaining chip he'll play in this fight where he's kind of holding up Bernanke's confirmation.
I guess I'm wondering, Todd and Louise, I mean, does Barack Obama simply wave a magic wand and say, leave Bernanke alone and it's all over with?
I'm not sure Obama has a magic wand.
I'm not sure he does either.
Not
less of one on Capitol Hill than he used to. And with all of the heavy lifts on the Afghan war,
Right. Certainly
health care that are going on. Members, especially progressives like Sanders, they want to show their muscle here. They don't want to be wanded anymore.
Before we go, Todd, the gate crashers down in Washington, you haven't mentioned much about this. So you were actually off
Thanksgiving week.
So what's going on? Do you have anything to add to that story?
I know how much you guys are dying to see the gate crashers, and maybe you would have gotten a shot at it today. The House Homeland Security Committee is holding a hearing into the gate crashers incident. Alas, the Salahi's lawyer walked through the room last night, and the word from the committee is they might not be appearing today on camera, which is a shame.
What's MSNBC going to do?
I haven't seen enough.
They said they may not. They may not. There's a chance they could show up, so take heart. They might be on TV today.
All right, so who has more likely? Will Ben Bernanke get confirmed, or will the Salahis show up on Capitol Hill? Give us a prediction, Louise.
I think Bernanke has a lot of support. I'll go with him.
Todd?
And a few more credentials, too.
Todd?
I think Bernanke has a lot of support, but you're foolish if you stand between the Salahis and a camera.
You're
so
right.
I'm going to call it a wash.
That's a medical issue.
There's your takeaway.
Todd Zwillick and Louise Story from our part of the New York Times. Coming up, we're checking with military families. They have their own news agenda when they hear President Obama's Afghanistan speech this week.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.